Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
And we are live.
All right.
Yes, and welcome to another edition of the Children's Literature Channel for the New Books Network. I'm Mel Rosenberg, and I have a special, wonderful guest today. I'm guessing you're in Rotterdam?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Okay, so it's wonderful to introduce and welcome the award-winning author-illustrator, Anne, now this is difficult, Anne Roos Kleis,
yeah.
Also known as Rosebos.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, I interview a lot of people with interesting names, but I think you take the first place now.
Wow, really? Okay, that's cool.
And as someone, I think you grew up in the...
I grew up in the Netherlands, yeah, in a small town. Oh, I can't seem to hear you. Okay,
now?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yes.
So I'm going to get rid of these.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. You grew up in Netherlands.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And you've managed to cross the cultural divide, the cultural ocean, and to become a celebrated author illustrator in North America and elsewhere in the world. And that is, as you guys say, outstakend.
Yeah.
Today we want to talk about your new book. We're celebrating your new book, When a Friend Needs a Friend, which came out just 2 or 3 months ago with Scholastic.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And so let's start out by talking a little bit about the book. Then we want to know all about you and your life and your childhood and and how you create these wonderful books.
All right, yeah, that sounds exciting.
It's your turn.
So this is my new book, When a Friend Needs a Friend. And it's published by Scholastic. It's about Oscar and Aya, who are these two children. And Oscar, they're the best of friends, but at some they love to build things together. So they make like little huts in their house, or they build a tree, or one in the forest as well. But at some point, Oscar starts to feel very sad, and Aya doesn't really know how to help him. Then Oscar kind of starts building a little treehouse to hide away from the world. And Aya doesn't really know how to connect with him because she wants to tell him, hey, I'm here for you. But he doesn't really want to talk to anyone. Something that's also a big element in the book is building. So they're always going to the construction site, and they have friends who work there. So Aya decides that she can talk to these friends to talk about her feelings. And together they come up with a plan, and that is to bring up a big building crane to the treehouse of Oscar. They go to the construction site together, and they go up the big crane, and then they look down at the world, and Oscar kind of has a little bit of a new perspective. So It gives him a kind of an objective perspective. And then in the end, we see them together in the treehouse playing. And it doesn't say that now everything is okay, but just that it's good to talk about these feelings. So that's actually also, that was kind of a tricky part in the book, is how to end it, because you don't want to, you know, it's kind of a book about depression in a way, or at least people who struggle with mental health. And yeah, you don't want to say at the end, like, oh, now everyone is happy again. So choosing the words in those spreads, yeah, my editors really helped me with that, because you have to be really delicate about, yeah, what you say. And which is also really challenging and exciting. Yeah, both at the same time.
So I think that these books on depression and being sad are more in vogue these days, and that's great.
Yeah.
I just interviewed Anne Lazowski last week. She has a book out, Dark Cloud, which is also about depression.
Mm-hmm.
Children get sad, and it doesn't have this Hollywood ending either. And that's marvelous. Anne, can you show us some of your beautiful artwork?
Yeah, of course. Do you want to see the ones in the book? I have some of the original ones here as well.
Well, whatever you like. This show is about you, you know.
Okay. I'll show the book first, and then I can show you the original one, so you can really see the details. So here they are at the construction sites, making friends. There's also a little dog that Oscar has. So even when he's by himself, the dog is still there. So he's never truly alone, which I think is also very important. This was, yeah, I really like this spread because of the strong perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And this is the only silent spread in the book, in which we see Oscar building the treehouse. And we decided to also add this element of the seasons changing. So you can kind of see how feelings can grow bigger.
And there's one spread that I like at the beginning.
Okay.
Where you see the strips, the collage, like the wood when they're building the tree, the maker's page. Yes.
Yeah. You can, because I chose to use collage as the book is so much about building, and I thought that would be a really cool element, that's because if you work with collage, you're putting different pieces of paper on top of each other. And so in this way, I was also kind of building the images instead of just drawing them, which I can show you one of the original.
I have bad news for authors who think that they can illustrate by using collage. It's much more difficult than it looks. I don't know how long it took you to prepare this book, but I've interviewed Chris Houghton, who uses a lot of cut paper and collage, and Hanoch Piven, and these things can take years. You really have to be an artist. I tried and I was a dismal failure.
Yeah.
So grown-ups, don't try this at home.
Okay.
leave it for the true artists.
Yeah. Well, it did take like twice as much time to create all the images than if I was drawing. But I also really love, it's kind of a really playful process as you keep putting things together and thinking, is this right? Is this right? So it takes a lot of time, but it's also, and sometimes you cut out a shape, and then the paper that's left over actually also creates a really cool shape, and then you can use that again. So I really love that way of using collage, also adding all the different textures. Like I also sometimes add little pieces of paper from so from like a writing block that already has certain stripes or things like that. And that I think is really cool. Yeah.
So it adds a wonderful level to your gorgeous artwork. You just gave me some insight why people like me cannot be artists.
Right.
Because we don't see what's not there. You know, I can take a pages from all kinds of things and cut them and rip them. And I can see what is there, but only people like you can see what isn't.
That's a good way of looking at it.
You've just explained everything. Show us some of your original stuff.
This is the one I was just showing.
Inviting us into your own process. That's so exciting.
Yeah, so here you can, I don't know if you can see it. So wait, let me adjust this lamp a little bit. So you can see, maybe I have to look in. Like here, I used just some paper that is already from a book with lines and stuff. This is some random little piece, paper that I get when you buy, when you buy something at the store, you have to wrap it if it's fragile. And then these are all the little tree branches. They're also different pieces of paper. Yeah. It's sometimes, I think the first ones I made, this is obviously the one that we put in the book, but the first ones are even more experimental. But sometimes it just has to be clear what you show. So I have to adjust it a little bit.
So how does the process work for you? From the stage of having an idea, you write it out first, you make some sketches first.
Yeah, for me, it really goes hand in hand. So when I'm also writing, then I come up with something, then I write a little bit, then I make some sketches, then I write some more. So it really, as I'm writing, I'm already thinking about the image. And then with this book, for example, I was really stuck on, okay, Oscar is feeling sad. What's next? How can we come to make a conclusion to the story? And I was creating an image with a big building crane. And as I was making it, I thought, wow, this is such a beautiful element. Maybe that can actually become part of the story. And that's how I came up with the idea, like, oh, the crane can give them a new perspective. So, like drawing and sketching and illustrating whilst writing also gives you new inputs for your process if you're stuck. Yeah.
So you studied art. You have a master's degree from Great Britain.
Yeah.
and you don't have to be in children's books. You could be designing and illustrating and perhaps making even more money. Why do you have this virus that we share of wanting to write picture books?
Actually, when I was 18, I really wanted to become an artist, but I didn't really know what. And I also knew I really wanted to work with children. That was something I always wanted. So first I started a course in to become an art teacher, to work with children and help them create art. But then I realized, oh, I really want to do it myself as well. And so, this idea of making something for children, working with children, looking at the world from a child's perspective is always something that I found really interesting. So when I started my course in illustration, it went kind of organically into children's books. And I also found that this is just something that also comes quite naturally to me, more than maybe other directions. And I think it's just such a beautiful format to work with, because it's very image based, but there's also a story you're telling. I think it's just such a really cool and interesting format to work with. And you can go into so many different directions. Yeah.
So these characters in your book, they're intriguing. Who are they really? Are they anybody? I know it's a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
I think somewhere, well, I chose Oscar. Like, that was the first character I made, and he has a very orangey color, and that was because when I was sketching to to come up with the story and to create it, I was catching a lot of people at the construction sites, and they're always wearing these gigantic orange coats. So I thought that could be a really cool, spot color in the book. And that's why I chose that he has such an orange appeal, because it's it kind of reminds you of the construction sites. So that came together quite organically. And then I wanted Aya to be a girl. And first it was actually only about Oscar, the book. But I decided to kind of change perspective of the people, of the person telling the story, to a friend. Because at the moment when I was writing the book, I also had a close friend who was going through something. And I thought, actually, it's better to tell it from my perspective, from the friend's perspective. And I think that also gave the whole book a new direction. So I think that's why, Aya is a girl as well. And I wanted a very contrasting color for her from the orange of Oscar. So that's why I chose blue for her, for her clothes and her hat. So that's kind of the story of the two main colors in the book, I'd say.
Yes, and orange is not a color that the Dutch people don't use, right?
No, orange is a very big color in our country. Actually, I think a lot of people, I don't know if people know this, but the royal family's national color is orange. They're called Of Orange. So if it's King's Day in the Netherlands, everyone's wearing orange. But I think that's also a reason why sometimes Dutch people don't like the color orange, and they can only make the connection with King's Day. But I think it's actually also just a really nice color. Yeah.
Yes. And I will tell you afterwards why it's become a special color for me also.
Okay.
But this show is about you, Anne. So I have a theory that people who write for five-year-olds are five-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, I have to say.
So are you a grown-up five-year-old?
I think so, yeah. Also, that's kind of, I was talking to my boyfriend a few weeks ago, and we were talking about what we learned from each other. So I said from him, I learned to sometimes be more rational about things. And we just both learned things from each other. And he said that what he learned from me was to kind of notice small things and kind of be in awe of little things that maybe a child would notice. So I thought, okay, so that's pretty cool to hear. Yeah.
It is. So when you were a young girl, were you drawn to writing, to art? Was this something you always did?
I was always drawing. Me and my sister both. She is now a doctor, so she went in a very different direction. But we were always drawing together. But I also really loved other kind of cultural things, like I loved theater a lot and playing the piano. So they're creative, but just kind of in a different direction. But I do think with theater, you're also telling a story in a way. So that kind of comes back. And I loved writing. When I had to choose what I wanted to do when I was 18, I knew it was something creative. But I did a course at art school before you actually started. I don't know if you have it in the US as well. To kind of look around, see what you like. And then I found, I kept drawing images. And at some point, one of my teachers told me, that is actually a thing, it's called illustration. And I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Well, I could do that for a living.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could be an illustrator.
Yeah.
So you went and studied art at college.
Yeah, I did a bachelor in illustration in Rotterdam here. Mm-hmm. That was a really cool school. It's kind of, it's called Willem de Koning Academy. And they kind of push you to think more outside of the box. So it's not just making images, but also, I don't know, for my my big project at the end of the course, I made an installation actually. But I always knew I wanted to make children's books. And then we got, I once did a workshop from Marta Altes, who is a big English illustrator. And she said she did the master in children's book illustration in Cambridge. And then I had the same thing again, where I was like, wow, that is an actual thing. That's a course. So yeah, then 1 year later, I decided to do this course. Yeah.
And you studied it, I think it's called Angela Ruskin's.
Yeah, it's true.
And would you believe that I have been there?
Wow, really?
Yes, that's exciting. My son almost did his master's there.
Wow, really?
In sports psychology. So I know exactly where you were.
Yeah. Of course,
it's gorgeous and Cambridge is wonderful.
Wow. It's like Harry Potter Village. Yeah.
It's more Harry Potter than Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So and so the question that everybody wants to ask now is, how did you break in? You know, there's so many illustrators and there's so many authors, and the chances are always 1,000 to 1. And you did it. And not only did you do it, but you did it coming from a different culture.
Yeah.
A different continent. And with an almost impossible name.
Yeah, that's true.
What's going on here? Tell us the secret. What happened?
I think it started when I did the course. This was the best timing. It was January 2020. We had our graduation exhibition in London, and I was presenting my work there. This was just before the whole circus happened and everyone went into lockdown. So looking back, we were really happy that we could actually.
This was your work from your master's.
Yeah, it was my. This actually, this book also was one of the projects I made on, or like I made a version of the book on the master's. It changed a lot. But we had this exhibition and publishers came to the exhibition and one of them offered me a book contract for Choices, my first book. And then it kind of rolled like this. But
incredible.
It's been a whirlwind.
So we were going to talk about Choices in a few minutes, but I'm going to choose now to talk about it now with you since you brought it up.
Okay.
You have this marvelous book?
Yeah, I also have it here. It's called Choices. Mm-hmm. This is a different kind of book. It's it's about making different decisions in life. And it's also, we follow a little girl around the pool. So the whole book is in the pool, but in the text, we never hear about the pool. But it's just this little girl, she's going around looking at other, like different people making different choices. So it says sometimes they can be little choices or bigger ones. You can choose to stand out or to blend in. And at the end, she also...
You can choose to make small decisions or big decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
You can choose to jump into the water or just feel it.
Yeah, so some choices take a bit more time. And then we see, so she has to decide whether she will jump from the diving board and then... she decides to do it. And then we see her underwater. This is the big decision. Then at the end, she comes out. And that's the book. So it's kind of, doesn't have a lot of words, but it just kind of makes you contemplate a little bit. And there's a lot to see throughout the book, a lot of different.
Now, this is a brilliant book.
Thanks.
And I have to buy it.
Yeah.
Not only because it's beautiful, it works on so many levels. And you might laugh, but I teach a college course in how to be amazing.
Wow.
And
that's a big question.
And I was just teaching about this making decisions and choices.
Yeah.
And I use going swimming as an example.
Yeah, that's great.
I didn't know about your book.
Yeah, wow.
So now I have to get my hands on it.
Yeah.
I've only seen the PDF. Can you buy it in the UK?
Yeah, you can buy it in the UK and the US as well. I don't know exactly if it's in stores in the US, but it is available. But the
luckily for me, I'm going to the UK.
Oh, that's great.
In a month. So I'm definitely going to pick up a book. And I might have to go to Rotterdam to get you to sign it, though.
Yeah. I can send you one as well.
Yeah. Ik hou van Nederland, but I don't know.
Wow, your Dutch is very good, I have to say.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go forward now. So so this guy wanders by your project.
Yeah.
He says, this is like Cinderella, you know?
Yeah.
did you feel like Cinderella?
I did when they said they were interested. And then I was already like, whoa, that's so cool. And then they emailed me while the exhibition was going, they emailed me a proposition. And then, I didn't really know what was happening. And it was also really nice because then COVID happened, which obviously for a lot of creative people was really challenging time. But I had this book to work on. So that really helped me.
And you were busy. You were busy.
Yeah, I was busy. But also it was really, really nice to have something to work on.
So how did you find, you have a wonderful agency?
Yeah.
Ad agency, Christy Ewers. How did you find them? How did they find you?
I think I started following them on Instagram. And Kirsty followed me back. And then I thought, okay, I might as well send in my work. She got back to me quite quickly with really positive response. And she was really excited. And then we had a Zoom call and it went all quite quickly.
So did she represent the sale of your first book as well?
No, that was already, I was already making that, but she did, this project from When a Friend Needs a Friend was like far away in my closet.
And she sold that to Scholastic.
Yeah. It's crazy. I was the,
And you've won awards and you're sitting in Rotterdam and conquering the world and you give a lot of hope.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
I have a few more questions to ask you. Your artwork and your text are so friendly.
Yeah, thanks. Wow.
And very kid-like. You know, your writing and your illustrations are childlike.
Yeah.
They're not childish.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering is because, you know, everybody talks about the cultural differences, that it's hard to break in when you're doing a landscape that is not an American landscape, with a palette that is not an American palette, with a sensitivity that's not an American sensitivity. And you're doing it in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I also don't know how it happened, but I was so excited when they offered to publish this book, because I had made a different version of it on my master course. It was just for a project for like an 8-week project. And then I got my grade and I moved on to a different project. And they asked me, I think Christy sent over a whole bunch of work from different people. And they said, wow, we like Anne's work. Can she send over? Does she have any story ideas? And I thought, well, I have this one that I made randomly. And they really loved it. And yeah, it went quite smoothly from there. Yeah.
So now are you at some kind of crossroad? You've turned your two projects from Cambridge into wonderful international books. Have you been to the States?
I did. Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. I went in March. I went to promote this book, and I got to make a window for Books of Wonder, which is such a cool children's bookstore in Manhattan. So that was just a dream. Also, just being in New York anyway was super inspiring. Yeah. So, and I had been once before when I was 12 with my parents. It's quite very different experience. But yeah, that was really, really exciting to make this window. I actually made it I made an installation of different buildings and the characters. And I made it in my studio in Rotterdam. But then I had to find a way to transport it all to New York. So I made everything exactly the size of my suitcase. And I brought this gigantic suitcase. And then I could put all the things together. So it was kind of difficult to work out, but it went.
So you're also a maker. You're a little like Oscar.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
So now you're at a crossroads. You've had two marvelous books that grew out of two projects at Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And this often, when you're a scientist or in any profession, at the beginning of your career, sometimes you achieve a success early on. I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but I'm guessing that you're very, very, very young. And and what are you going to do now?
I think I'll just keep on making books. I actually just finished a new book concept, very, very early stages last week, and sent it to Christy, my agent, to see if we can, get anyone interested. So I think I just want to keep going with that and keep on creating books. I also love other types of illustration, but I also love children's books. So yeah, I do always, I have a big list of ideas or book ideas. So whenever I have one, I write it down. And then when I'm not inspired, I can just look at my list and go from there.
So for all those people who are going to fall in love with your artwork, it's not likely that you'll be taking on jobs as the illustrator of a children's book.
What do you mean?
Well, there's people like me out there who don't know how to draw a stick man.
I mean, you can probably draw a stick man though, right?
No, my stick men are bent and all curved, and they're falling over in each direction. Really, I can't.
That could also already make a book, though. That sounds like a book concept.
It could be. It could be.
Yeah.
I also, like you, I have a list of hundreds of ideas.
Yeah.
But I can't draw them, and you can.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen your drawings, but yeah.
No, you're going to have to trust me on that.
Yeah.
You just have to believe me. I think that you're not going to be illustrating for other writers in the near future, are you?
I am also illustrating books for writers. Yeah. So
oh.
I have a few books in Dutch that someone else wrote that I illustrated.
Oh, so you're okay with that as well?
Yeah, actually, I really like it as well. I also like doing both at the same time because the books that I write they come from something that interests me, of course. But then when other people write a book, they look at a text and what a book can be in a totally different way. So last year, I also illustrated a book about horses, for example, which I don't think I would have written a book about. But then when I started making the images, I realized, wow, horses are really cool. And so I really like that it kind of gets you more out of your comfort zone if someone else writes a story. So I really like both, actually. Yeah.
Incredible. So what advice do you have for aspiring writers, authors, illustrators? You are already a role model at your young age, that you can have a bunch of non-standard names, that you can come from a place that isn't America, that you can break in early on. And I think that one of your remarkable things is not staying in Rotterdam and going to Great Britain for your master's degree.
Yeah.
And everything grew out of that. But also, you know, you have to be brave to leave Nederland and to go to a new place.
Yeah.
And so you're obviously a very brave person. And I think you're going to do really, really magnificently in your career. What is your advice, meanwhile, for people who are coming up and aspiring to break in?
I actually wrote something down for this because...
Did you?
You said beforehand, like, oh, we might talk about this. And I thought, okay.
Did you illustrate it also?
No, I'm sorry. It's very boring. That would have been very cool, though, if I could have shown you, like... an illustrated infographic or something, but no.
Next time.
Next time. I definitely, something I would do is keep a sketchbook. Just to experiment, and it can help you come up with ideas. Even if something looks really weird, it can still inspire you and keep you motivated. Also, I really love to draw from observation. So, just go outside with your sketchbook and start drawing people, even though it looks really weird. I know it's kind of difficult sometimes to overcome that people will maybe come up to you and say, oh, what are you making? Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry. Sorry about that. That was my phone. So definitely do that. And because that's also kind of how I came up with the story about Oscar, is just drawing the people at the construction site and going from there. So that's really something I would recommend.
Even to people who can't draw, or for the illustrator?
Everyone, yeah, for sure. And also, okay. I don't really think that someone can't draw. I think... Yeah, you will have to find, you will, if you just keep going, you'll find something interesting. And sometimes really great artists are very simple, you know. I love details, so I'm not the greatest person for like keeping it simple. But I think that, yeah, sometimes a very simple image is really strong. So keep a sketchbook, I would say. And just start from what interests you. So don't think too much about what is on trend or what people need in the world, but just start from your perspective, and also maybe look at things that you come across in your own life that fascinate you or that you're struggling with. You can just start from there, I'd say. I hope that's something that could help someone.
That's wonderful. So now you explained something to me, which is when I looked at your work, particularly the Oscar book.
Yeah.
You see, you don't have to win an Oscar because you already have an Oscar.
Yes. Sorry. That's good.
Terrible. No, it's very bad. It's very bad.
I haven't heard that. That's good. Yeah.
Thank you. So I'm thinking, when I looked at your artwork, it reminded me of my favorite book when I was five, which was Madeleine by Ludwig Bemelmans.
Okay.
And there's a lot of sketchiness in those drawings of Paris.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big compliment to your work.
I love that book. That's amazing. Yeah.
So I really am honored to have interviewed you.
Wow. Okay.
I wish you lots of luck. And who knows? Who knows?
Maybe you can come to the Netherlands someday. You already speak the language.
And practice my Dutch.
Yes.
Well, all I can say is bedankt voor de uitnodiging.
Yeah. Ik hoop je snel te zien.
We're not going to continue because I've used up most of my Dutch right now.
Okay.
I've been interviewing the one and only Anne Roos Kleis.
Yes, that's
true. That's your real name.
That's my real name, yeah.
But your friends know you as Rosibos.
Yeah.
And I think somewhere along the line, you're going to have to choose one or the other. Because at some stage, you know, people are going to want to know what to call you. I mean, you could make it difficult, right?
Yeah, I like Rosibos for my books. And then when I'm chatting to someone, you can call me Anne.
Yeah. So I'm thinking now that if I ever get going in North America, maybe I should be Melly Belly or something.
Yeah.
Go by my nickname, right?
Yeah.
Now, don't call me. But I mean, nobody knows.
Okay.
But I mean, imagine, you know, an author named Melly Belly.
Could work.
It might work.
Yes. So,
you've inspired me, and I hope you've inspired many, many other listeners and viewers. For the viewers, you've seen Anne's beautiful artwork, run out and buy her books. And for the people listening to the podcast, you missed out. So check her out. Her artwork is fantastic. Anne Rosibos, it's been wonderful meeting you, interviewing you. Do you want to go out and come back? And I'll just tell you a few private things entre nous.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to share with the world.
Yeah, that's fine. Sure.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. And dank je wel.
Yeah. Dag gedaan.
Outstanding.
Bye.